Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler and today is the 26th of January 2012. Joining me as usual, my regular co-hosts, Stephen Brett.
Good evening.
And Trevor J. Williams.
Hello.
And this is our third attempt to actually have a podcast that people can listen to, as opposed to just sitting here talking to each other and then not actually producing anything.
And the last two have been absolute gold as well.
They have been.
Are you absolutely sure that there's no chance you're going to retrieve them?
Last week is irretrievable. The one before, I'm still holding out hope for.
There's a possibility for that one. In that case, it was last week that was pure comedy gold.
Genius, absolute genius.
In fact, I mean, I could barely sleep that night because my sides were still hurting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I actually laughed up a lung at one point. I managed to get it back down.
Fair enough. So, welcome to the podcast, and you can download previous episodes by going to our blog, thinkrant.blogspot.com, going to the audio archive, or you can download us on iTunes, and leave us a rating if you want as well. Good, bad, we don't care. Just let us know how you feel. Or you can do it with a bit more personal touch, really. You can send us an email, info@thinkrant.co.uk. You can tweet us, abuse@thinkrant. Or we got a Facebook page as well, so go along, join up, and tell us what you think on there. This week, who wants to go first?
Well, hang on. See, you got to mention about the fact that you don't edit stuff.
Hang on, I thought we were knocking this on the head.
I know. I've got to explain to the nice ladies and gentlemen. Look, we were just banging on about this comedy gold last week. If we're going to make out like there's anything at all, we've got to try and make an effort.
Okay.
It's basically us talking shit about news, you know. But what I'm going with this week is that you don't edit these things because, right, you're playing the long game. Because, Steve, you remember when he got us to sign away the rights to the ThinkRant merchandise because we thought that, you know, they'd be worth nothing. Yeah. But he's slowly building an empire, see? And once he's squeezed all he can from the ThinkRant concept, he'll re-edit all these podcasts and release them again. This time charging shed loads and being a control freak and not realizing the irony that he has become the very empire he fought against when he started the series.
He may even bring them out in 3D.
Oh my god, that's hideous.
I think we're safe as long as we stay away from smell-o-vision, to be honest. Thank you for that, Trev.
As long as the cat farted first.
You're lucky, Trev, you do it remotely. You know, you're not here for when the cat takes a shit.
The cat shit
in the next room, and then the joys of podcasting. Okay, now I'm going to ask the question. Who's going first? Steve's got a vacant expression.
I have no stories.
Steve, welcome back.
Hi, everyone.
It's been so long. Well, there's been some bugger who does a very good impression of you the last couple of weeks. But yeah, of course, the nice ladies and gentlemen will never know.
No. Shh.
Well, I actually... Go on then. I'm going to mention a story. And I just want to know if you've got it, Trev. Rod Liddell in The Sun.
No.
Have you read this today?
I haven't seen.
Okay.
I saw that he was trending on Twitter. Yeah. So I popped on there to send Kermit a message. But I don't know what he was trending for.
Right, so he's trending because he decided in his column to print an article with the title "Pretend Disabled Really Are Sick." And then I'm just going to read you a few lines out of it so you can understand why he was trending on Twitter. Here's a few of the choice quotes. He starts off, "My New Year's resolution for 2012 was to become disabled. Nothing too serious, maybe just a bit of bad back, or one of those newly invented illnesses which make you a bit peaky for decades, fibromyalgia or ME. And being disabled is incredibly fashionable. The number of people who claim to be disabled has doubled in the past 10 years. I think we should all pretend to be disabled for a month or so, claim benefits, and hope this persuades the authorities to sort out the mess. It has become easier to claim those benefits partly as a consequence of the disablement charities who, out of their own self-interest, insist that an ever greater proportion of the population is disabled. Comments, please.
What a cunt. I'm sorry to have claimed that goal in the episode, but bloody hell. Wow.
You may be surprised to find out that The Sun pulled the online version of this article pretty swiftly today. But if you went and bought a copy of The Sun, you could have it to frame, if you so wish.
Oh my God. Is this just baiting people in the same way that Clarkson does? You know, when he doesn't actually believe absolutely every dreadful thing he says.
What, like shooting people in front of the...
Well, yes, exactly.
I'm
that was just
maybe,
winding people up.
You know, do these people get paid per, you know, click? You know, number of visitors they attract to their website?
I don't know, but what I find absolutely incredible is the fact that it's got into the paper, it's been on the online site, and then somebody thought, oh, shit, let's take it down quick. Editor, where? Hello?
Yeah. Wow. An image of the paper.
Yeah, I'm afraid
that's
so.
I mean, that's quite a few editors to get through, isn't it? Sure.
Yeah, I mean, all of the images that I've seen posted are of, it's like a camera, it's like a phone camera shot of the paper itself. So, make no mistake, this went to print. So it's pretty shocking. And one point that nobody's picked up on, but I did, was at one point he says, oh, all the lefties are going to say, well, you know, we need to chase after the big companies that are evading, you know, tax, you know, because that's worth a lot more money. And he says, but that's not an excuse. And, you know, I can't fault his logic there. However, what a dick at the end of the day.
But just in terms of that, as I've said many times before, I do think that those who are genuine benefit fraudsters, genuine benefit fraudsters, should be prosecuted if found guilty. Obviously,
sure.
But they wouldn't necessarily be genuine if they weren't found guilty. But no, they should be found guilty and they should be punished if they're committing fraud. However, the slice of the pie that the tax evaders dodge is so much more than like the whole welfare budget combined. So, you know.
Yeah, and he seems to, it's just completely lost on him that the fact that this is so much of a problem is, well, it's not in reality. It's only made into a big problem by people like him blowing the story up all the time.
Yeah.
And what was that statistic that he used? Because that's the kind of thing that a Daily Mail reader, was it in the Daily Mail? The Sun, did you say?
The Sun, sorry.
The Sun, right. But the reader who wants to bang on about it will say, it's there in black and white. He says that there's like twice as many disabled people. Well, sure, but 20 years ago, if you were disabled but you managed to be in a job, you wouldn't call yourself disabled. You wouldn't bother. Why would you?
Because you would have got sacked, probably.
Yeah, there's still a stigma of sorts, but it's less.
And, for instance, partially sighted people, you know, as long as they could see well enough to, you know, go down the mine, it wasn't really an issue. So yeah, of course.
They hang don't on, 20 years ago and there were mines. I think this is longer ago, isn't it?
I'm sure this is.
I think Tower was still open then, Trev.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it's not completely dead. Yeah, so I just thought I'd get that one in there early. I'm surprised you didn't pick up on that, Trev. I thought you were gonna come on the podcast gritting your teeth, keen to jump on that one. So, yeah, all they needed was to make the article perfect. They should have had a picture of Little Britain, with the guy in the wheelchair who obviously can walk or something. You know, that would be the only way to make this article a bit more, you know, The Sun.
Wow.
Because there is a real benefit cheat. Look, he's real.
Look at this fictional character. Doesn't he make you angry?
Proof, if proof be need be.
People like him screwing the system.
Great.
Talk to us, Trev. Give us a story.
Okay. Well, you know, I said I was on Twitter talking to Kermit. Well, by the time this gets out, it'll be over. But Kermit the Frog was answering people's tweets live. And, you know, I don't use my Twitter account. I think I've got done 6 tweets in the history of having it over 2 years. But I just wanted to share with him that What was my tweet? I think it was, is it just me? Or wouldn't it be a brilliant idea for a movie or series of Muppet Prison Break? Clearly it's just me. Okay.
Yeah, I think it is just you.
Have you seen Prison Break? The first series was astonishing.
The reason why I haven't seen Prison Break is because I missed the first series. In fact, more specifically, I missed episode one. So having missed that one episode has precluded me from watching the rest of the series.
Oh, man, we bought it on DVD. I'll lend it to you. It's fantastic.
Cool.
First series. And then variable quality until the fourth series, which is just dogshit slices in DVD form.
But you still own it, nonetheless?
No, we didn't buy that one.
Okay.
We've only got the first three.
You see, but that would really put me off, knowing that something was good, but it turned shit, would put me off, because you know you're going to get emotionally attached to it.
Like Star Wars?
It's an American TV series, come on. What else is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's all serious for the first three series, like a drama, then all of a sudden they introduce ghosts or something, do they?
Pretty much.
Light-hearted musical comedy.
It's quite astonishing. You'd hate it for all of the conspiracy theory nonsense.
Yeah. So kind of like Lost, because that kind of started off, you know, oh look, we're stranded on an island, and then they started, bringing some really weird stuff into it. So.
Yeah. Well, they started.
I've never seen that either for the same reason.
I've watched it all the way through, and it is tremendously disappointing, but with some great highlights. I don't know if that's a recommendation or not.
No, I saw the first two series, but then switched off.
Well, so. They did the first series. Actually, they did the first something like 10 episodes, absolutely convinced that they weren't going to get picked up. So they just threw all sorts of ideas. And people were saying, so what's the secret behind it? I know. I haven't got a clue.
You haven't written that bit yet. Shh.
Yeah. In one of the episodes, didn't someone get attacked by a polar bear?
Yeah.
Now, isn't that a bit...
On a tropical island?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That was the beauty of it, really. There's no rules.
The only rules are... The only rules are all the writers are drunk by lunchtime.
Yeah, I could definitely work like that. Steve, you look like you got a story for me.
What makes you say that?
I'm just trying to put you on the spot and make you, you know.
Well, I have come across something which...
Okay.
Have you found a story?
boom, boom. This is just going to make everyone angry, but I'm going to say it anyway, because you're all going to think, what a tosser. Our favourite American Republican candidate.
Oh, I love him.
Rick Santorum. Thinks pregnancy through rape is God's gift, is the headline.
Oh, my God.
And basically, that's the sensationalised headline, in all fairness. That's it's a blog piece. It's a headline she's given it. But essentially, Rick Santorum was on one of our other favourite all-time people, Piers Morgan's chat show. And we're talking about... the hypothetical situation that if Rick's daughter was raped, he still wouldn't accept her having an abortion if she became pregnant through it.
The weird thing is, I can totally hear exactly how Piers Morgan would put that question to somebody. And what if your daughter was raped? That's the kind of really tactful question that he's so good at. That's why we love him.
Yeah, because he says, I believe and I think that the right approach is to accept this horribly created in the sense of rape, but nevertheless, in a very broken way, a gift of human life, and accept what God is giving to you.
Wow.
So that's from Mr. Santorum.
Yeah. I mean, what are this guy's chances of becoming the Republican nomination? Because
fading day by day.
I hope so.
But unfortunately, Newt Gingrich or whatever his face is still.
Is this guy kind of
Romney?
Is this guy doing it just to bait people? You know how Jeremy Clarkson sometimes says that things he doesn't believe?
No, he believes it.
Oh, yeah, no, I really think he believes it. He also said that he wants to, if he was president, the first thing he'd do is outlaw gay marriage.
Yes.
So.
He thinks it's the same as bestiality.
Yeah.
That's why his last name now means what it means.
However, in all fairness to Piers Morgan, he comes back with an absolute... I've just read this, so that's why I'm interjecting with this, because this is class.
This is happening in real time for you, isn't it?
Yeah. This is class. This is class.
Feel the excitement, listeners.
That's good. Morgan comes back with, I know that your position is, correct me if I'm wrong, that you believe in the sanctity and innocence of life. So how do you equate that with supporting the death penalty?
Nice. And what was his answer?
I don't think he was able to give one, to be honest with you. But it doesn't say, but I mean, you know, how can you justify
maybe
it?
The cognitive dissonance made, you know, just he blue screened and he had to be reset or something after it.
Switch him off, leave him off for 3 seconds, switch him back on again.
Then he comes back on, he's going, yes, yes, let's kill all the murderers, yes. Great, yeah. Anything else, or you just wanted to...
No, that was it, because I just thought I'd drop that in there, because I knew you would enrage Trev more than anything, really.
Thank you. Well, this is so tricky for me. You said the Rod Little dreadful thing to start with, John, and I decided to pick up the atmosphere a little bit, talking about Kermit and the Muppets. And then, Steve, you bring us down with Santorum's latest revolting diatribe. Now what have I got to do? I haven't got a story about Santa in my back pocket. Jesus.
Shall I lighten the mood then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because
what have you got?
I think it's time for the regular feature, which I must say, this is the best spot fake ever. I guarantee this, right? Or your money back. This is the best one ever.
It's like Brucey's favourite, isn't it? It's the best one ever. So...
Yeah.
Here we go.
Or is this just learning from the last couple of weeks, which the listeners won't know about, where we've just been increasingly winding you up about how piss poor you describe it? Oh, I've got another one. It's a bit shit. It's all right, I suppose.
Look, that's a good point, because the listeners have missed out on 2 weeks worth. He could, you know, be lazy when we can go back and reuse them.
Well, yeah, to be honest, I wasn't going to write one. I was just going to ask you guys just to do last week's again and pretend to lose like you did, you know.
But yeah, but we haven't been able to listen to last week, so I can't remember.
You say you lost, John. Where's the proof?
Lack of evidence.
I say you lost, sir.
Good call.
Okay, are you ready for this, guys? So this is for the new listeners. These are the rules. I've got 3 stories. 2 of them are real and 1 of them is fake. They need to spot the fake.
Sorry, could you explain the rules one more time?
No, that's it. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, just doing it for the benefit of those hundreds of new listeners that we've got. So, story number 1. Australian news. Because today is Australia Day.
G'day, mate.
How topical.
Excellent.
I've got Australian, mate. It's fine.
Australian Transport Minister...
I know some, so that means I can't possibly be racist to Australians. Some of my best friends.
I drink Australian beer, Trev. Come on.
Oh, God.
I actually find that drinking a can of Foster's actually makes you more racist.
That's true.
That's why I don't drink Foster's.
So... Story number 1, Australian news. Australian Transport Minister Anthony Albanese has been accused of parroting a Michael Douglas speech from the 1995 film The American President. Mr. Albanese of the ruling Labour Party was making a speech to the National Press Club in Canberra when he launched an attack on opposition leader Tony Abbott. In Australia, we have serious challenges to solve, and we need serious people to solve them. Unfortunately, Tony Abbott is not the least bit interested in fixing anything. He went on to say he is only interested in 2 things, making Australians afraid of it and telling them who is to blame for it. However, the Liberal Party's federal director, Brian Luffin, spotted an uncanny similarity to the scene in the film The American President and set about making a video contrasting the two called Albo, You're No Michael Douglas. The original film was written by Aaron Sorkin, who went on to create the political drama The West Wing, mm-hmm. and won an Oscar for the Social Network screenplay last year. Have you seen the Social Network?
Nope.
Yeah.
You are
very good.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's brilliant.
Story number two. Brace yourself, Steve. French news. A French restaurant in the leafy suburb of Brouhen in Paris has been closed off by health officials after an off-duty inspector noticed the choice cuts of meat fell foul of local health laws. One item in particular, described as Paul de la viande on the menu, literally translated to meat pole, was actually skinned and braised horse penis. Some people would find such a dish unremarkable considering some of the other delicacies found in Parisian restaurants, and they'd be right. There's nothing illegal in serving horse penis. The problem was with the length of time the meat had been hung, 28 days rather than the maximum of 7 as stated in a Paris bylaw. The owner of the restaurant, Francois Lyonnais, has sworn to fight the initial closure order, citing previous cases where old regional laws based on poor food science have been struck from the statutes. Mr. Leonardo says that his mature horse penis dish was very popular with customers with refined tastes and big appetites. Story number three.
Oh, dear God.
Story number three, US news. US man Dante Ortulo made headlines after accidentally shooting himself in the head with a nail gun, leaving a 9-centimeter long object lodged in the center of his brain for almost 2 days before going to hospital. He had not realized the severity of the situation because the nail had left only a tiny scratch when it entered his brain, making him think it had almost completely missed him. He was forced to seek treatment only after complaining of nausea and headaches after taking a nap, and went for a checkup. Doctors were initially amazed that he was walking and talking, and later revealed that the nail had lodged itself millimeters from the section that controls motor functions. His fiancée, Gail Glenzer, said she thought it was a miracle he had survived after undergoing successful surgery at Christ Medical Center. Unfreaking believable, she exclaimed when asked her thoughts on it by a local paper, the Naperville Sun. Mr. Ortulo is said to be recovering well from the ordeal. So, you got three stories there. You've got story number one, Hollywood inspiration. Story two, Coco Van. Story three, no sense, no feeling. Who's going first?
Okay. I think it's my turn this week, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna put this one out here. I know I fell foul of it last week, which was the having seen a story in the press, but not really remembering it in its entirety. And I'm sure I saw a nail in the head story in the press this week. So I'm gonna go with that being true, which leaves the horse penis. Or the Australian story as the fake. No. The thing is, it's something I can see happening in Australian politics, to be honest with you. And John's got all the key players right, I believe, in their name. They're not sure about the transport minister, whatever he was. He's, Tony Abbott heard of and all that. So that's a possibility. But the horse cock is just brilliant. I'd love it to be true, but I don't think it is. So I'm going to say Cock-o-van, cock-o-fake.
Okay.
So you're plumping for horse cock.
Yes, Trev, I am indeed.
Okay. Oh, God. Did the guy shoot himself in the head with the nail gun?
Yes, he did.
That is brilliant. That's got to be true. I don't want it to be true, obviously, but kind of true. So, yeah, I'm going for that one as true. And, yeah, the horsecock one is the kind of one you would make up. But that first one where you read out a bit of the speech... And it said something about what Australians need, and he said that was stolen from the film The American President. But in that film, he didn't mention Australians. It was the American president. That was my clue.
No, no, sure,
you
but
see?
Come on.
No,
I didn't say
you see?
That it was...
So that they couldn't possibly have been stolen from there. Because he would have stolen the whole thing and mentioned it as Americans, and that would have just confused everybody, if anything. So that's the one that I'm going to say for that reason, which I know is a shit reason. And I'm being deliberately bloody-minded. But there you go. That's the story I'm choosing as having been made up.
You're hedging your bets between the two of you. You're trying to, you know, you're more interested in, you know, one of you winning rather than, you know, me winning. Right, okay, fair enough. Okay, well, I can safely say that one of you this week is right. You've spotted the fake.
Dun, dun, dun.
But which one is it? You were right, about the third story. A guy shooting himself in the head with a nail. It's not that spectacular, is it?
No,
it the spectacular part about it was the girlfriend's quote. Unbelievable.
Well, I thought the amazing part was he didn't realise it was still in his brain, you know, for 2 days. So, okay.
Yeah, but it's lovely that she said it's a miracle, really, because that's exactly what God would be doing. Somebody who is dumb enough shit to shoot himself in the face with a nail gun. You know what? I'll make sure he doesn't die. Great use of divine intervention there.
Okay, I'm going to cop to it. Stephen, you're right.
Boom.
Oh!
I had to make the horse cock one. There's not a single thing in that is remotely real, apart from the place called Paris. I think I invented pretty much the entire thing.
Is it true that you can serve a horse's penis in France?
No, I don't know. Maybe
probably.
Not. Probably. They'll eat anything, the French.
Oh, God.
Well, they do eat horses.
Can
anyway,
I just apologise to our friend? Oh, no, they're gone.
Bye.
I don't think there's going to be love lost with Steve.
Au revoir.
So there you go, Steve. Congratulations. You figured me out.
Thank you.
I mean, what was it that gave it away? Was it just too absurd?
Well, no. I mean, I get, there was the level of absurdity in it, which was just brilliant this week. The 28-day mature horse cock. Brilliant. But
hung for 28 days.
28 days, exactly. But no, I said, I'd seen the story about the nail gun, and I can see that happening in Australian politics, to be honest with you, because Australian politics is in a bad place at the moment. So
well, especially if they're having to steal all of their speeches from movies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're going to see like today Julia Gillard's going to give a speech, you know, saying something about they'll never take away our freedom or something like that, you know.
Painting her face blue.
Painting her face blue, exactly. So that wouldn't surprise me. She's not doing very well in the polls. She needs to, you know, get a bit of a lift up. So yeah, I just think that rang true for me, and horse's penis didn't.
Fair enough.
Unfortunately, that horse's cock was ringing in my ears just fine. I'm embarrassed to say.
But, you know, I've done the double bluff lots of times, you know. I've gone for a reading.
Yeah, you have, and I was concerned about that you were going to do a double bluff. But I felt fairly confident the Australian story was true.
I'm always overthinking it, aren't I? Always. I should take Steve's more direct underthinking approach.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe just need to dumb down, Trev.
Ah, fuck.
Talking about overthinking things, I got a short story here quickly about somebody who obviously didn't think much at all. Did anyone hear about the shitstorm that surrounding Tom Watson on Twitter?
No.
No,
well, Tom Watson.
Oh, yeah.
The Leveson inquiry. What happened was he was busy in a meeting, and for a laugh, his intern tweeted a humorous reprimand to the MP to not leave his Twitter account logged in, lest he be tweet raped. All of a sudden, an offended mob subsequently formed a queue to berate the account for trivialising rape.
Brilliant.
So she apologised immediately, and Tom Watson said, yeah, that was naughty. So, intern, you think she should be sacked then, Steve?
No, I don't actually. You know, there's that's just, you know, the whole well, false moral outrage, I think, really, to be honest, is spawned there, because as unpleasant a term as it is common vernacular, I suppose, when somebody's account is hacked or left open, that, you know, you say, oh, Facebook rape or tweet rape, you know, it just, it is a term which is used quite common, which doesn't necessarily excuse it, but I don't think she should be sacked over it.
It's even been abbreviated to framed.
Exactly.
Just say framed, yeah, and everybody knows what you're talking about.
Precisely.
Do you think that using it trivialises rape?
Well, yes, I guess. It does, I guess. But, I mean, it's...
Can I jump in and... It does, but when something like that is said amongst people who understand that you don't mean to trivialise rape, then it's still not great, but it's the kind of thing you let a friend get away with, maybe. But the fact that it is a politician means that he should absolutely, because he's representing an entire constituency, means that he should take extra precautions to make sure he doesn't use stupid language like that to trivialise the subject. And also leaving his account open like that so that somebody else could use that kind of trivial language is,
I mean,
that stupid.
I guess that's the more concerning thing, really, is that, you know, he has left it open. You've got to wonder then, but, you know, online security, what else does he leave open, you know?
It's a reflection of his position, I think.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at it in terms of the intern and the use of the word. And personally, I don't think it trivialises rape. You know,
if I
come across a woman who's lying, stripped, you know, in a street somewhere,
in a wheelchair, John.
Yeah, I'm not going to point at her and go, "Lol."
Now, there will be tire tracks leading away from.
No, but no, seriously, it doesn't trivialise rape for me. I think it's going a bit too far with.
That's what I'm
ruining language.
Yeah,
you know, if you can't use words.
I do think it is kind of, it does kind of trivialise it, but I do agree that the intern shouldn't really face any, you know, reprimand for being a knob, but no more than that, really.
Don't you think, you know, knob trivialises, you know, genitals?
Well, my genitals need trivialising.
So, yeah. It's just, you know, people using frape. For me, it's just a word, and it's here to stay. And there's no point getting all bent out of shape that people use it, because, you know, it's just language.
It's just the way language changes and develops.
Mm. But it's still a very new thing.
Yes.
And for that reason, there'll be lots of people unfamiliar. And I saw a couple of people, because I was tweeting Kermit today, I've been on Twitter a couple of times, and I saw some people complaining. And these people using Twitter, I'm fairly sure, aren't actually going to be personally offended by the use of that phrase, because they will have come across it so many times, because it's not that new. But there are plenty of people who aren't that familiar, who, when they find out that kind of weird phraseology is used, are going to be upset. And because the guy's elected to represent them, they have reason to be offended. I know that you usually would say, John would berate us for saying, "I don't give a shit who's offended. I'm going to offend you right now, motherfucker." But in this case, because of the capacity of being an elected official to represent people, he's got an extra particular duty. I've got a brilliant Catholic story, but I'll do that in a bit, because this one's going to cheer everybody up. Nadine Dury's sexual abstinence lessons bill withdrawn. Yay! And actually, it should say, Nadine Dury's forced to withdraw her sexual abstinence lessons bill. Excellent. But yeah, it was the end of last week. Let's see, it was pulled at the last minute from the House of Commons Order of Business last Friday. The bill was listed to receive its second reading, but was withdrawn before it had a chance to be debated. Dury's refused to say whether she had withdrawn it, but a bill can only be removed with the permission of the MP who proposed it. So yes, she was forced to agree to its withdrawal. In this Guardian article about it, there's a whole bunch of people's opinions about it, including Andrew Copson, the chief executive of the BHA. But it's just got past quotes from Dury's. saying why she put it forward in the first place and stuff. I think, you know, she's very gobby about many things, but when she's forced to back down, that's not one of them. Cool, but yeah, it's a good idea that it was withdrawn as well as being a slap in the face for Doris. Or that girls and boys should be separated for sex education, and the girls should be given abstinence-only sex education. Just say no is the only option.
Well, I don't know about that. I was under the impression that the idea was that it was just extra lessons for girls to, you know, with the just say no. It wasn't going to replace sex education.
She said it would counter the fact that society is saturated in sex. Teenagers should be taught that it was cool to say no to sex.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's really cool.
And what else did she say? Teaching a child at the age of teaching a child at the age of 7 to apply a condom on a banana is almost saying, now go and try this for yourself. Is it though? Is it really? I think for one of those you'd be arrested. And for the other, not so much.
Sorry, I'm eating at the moment, so can someone else talk, please?
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, I'm glad to see it out, and I do think that, you know, as you say, John, questions need to be asked, because obviously you spend a lot of time and effort and money on this, because there's a cost to it. You know, is she then going to bring it back in a couple of months' time in an amended format? You know, as it was the second reading, it's already gone through the Commons once. So, you know, it's just an awful lot of time wasted when something else, you know, meaningful could have been part of the statute books.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe it's going to give her more time to go and push some of her other legislation, because she was trying to make it hard for people to get abortions. That's what she was up to before this.
And for there to be no impartial advice.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You know, basically just trying to make people jump through more hoops. So, yeah, maybe she should actually just go back to her constituents and say, hey guys, is this thing you wanted me to do? Because I've just been, you know, doing whatever the hell I wanted for the last 3 years.
That I'm sure one of the news headlines I saw today, and it was in passing, so I may not have it 100% correct, but essentially it was a Mandarin baby almost died was the headline on the front page of The Sun, I believe it was. And you just think, you know, with the whole Leveson inquiry going on about media standards and, you know, intrusion into people's private lives, is that really a new story? Should that be front page news? I mean, sure, you know, put a story in saying Amanda Holden's had a baby, it was difficult, you know, sort of thing, but front page news, really?
Slow news day, obviously.
Well, no news day by the look of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's, you know, the privacy, there's some serious problems with privacy in this country now.
You know, I just think if it is the case that it has been that difficult for her and for her family, then that's not exactly a great headline to be waking up to for them. And like I said, you know, in light of the Leveson inquiry, then you're thinking, well, what are these editors playing at? What is going on in their heads that they can still produce such utter garbage?
Mm. David Alan Green giving evidence last couple of days, wasn't it? And he's basically had to talk about bloggers holding the media to account, which is quite interesting in itself, that there has to be people on the internet, you know, researching the stories in the news and then debunking it on such a massive scale. So just thought I'd get that in there. Trev?
Well, yeah, I've got a kind of a Catholic story, but it's not strictly Catholic. But it really is the kind of stuff that they...
it's not Orthodox.
...are very interested in. But they did help organise a lot of it. There have been marches in America. Let's see. One in San Francisco and one in Washington. And probably others all over the country. But it was all pro-life because of the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision that made abortion legal in America. And I've just been looking it up, and I cannot get any accurate data about how many people turned up. All of the Christian and Catholic news providers have said tens of thousands or more turned up to both of them. I've got one, where is it? The ChristianPost.com website said that more than 40,000 pro-life activists and supporters were in San Francisco. And the numbers for Washington are bizarre. Like, the Washington Post just said thousands. USA Today, just thousands. CBS, thousands. Fox News, tens of thousands. National Catholic Register, tens of thousands. The American Spectator, which is a Huffington Post-like magazine where individual contributors can do opinion pieces, I said scores of thousands. So that's, like, again, that's at least 40,000, isn't it? That's shitloads. Some columnist in the Columbia Tribune said hundreds of thousands attend every year, but didn't specifically say how many this year. Newsday said thousands. The World, which is a Christian news site, said the mostly young crowd added up to at least tens of thousands, if not more than 100,000. What the fuck? I don't know what they were looking at. ABC2, which I presume is a news channel, it looks like a writer was told to calm down and check their data, but they didn't change what they had written underneath a photo on the story. A photo reference says tens of thousands of anti-abortion demonstrators march in Washington. But the article says thousands of abortion opponents have marched to the Supreme Court in cold, rainy weather. So that looks like an editor has just grabbed hold of them and said, okay, what's your source for that? Who actually said? And of course, at the bottom of all of these articles on the internet, there's people saying, what are you talking about? I was there and there were at least 100,000 people. Well, how would you know if you're in the middle of shed loads of people marching up a street? How would you know the difference between 1,000 and 100,000? You know, if they got people on the side with those little clicky things, just counting each one, that would be a hell of a job. That would be very tricky.
Well, you'd be able to count 9,999.
That's a good point. I think you could get another one out then.
Good point. Bold. Yeah, true.
Get another one. I just don't know. It seems bizarre that there is no way to work out how many thousands of people it was. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's this particular point is not actually up for democratic change because Obama was. Made a statement in support of it, saying that it allowed women reproductive rights.
Yeah, but it's not stopping him from legislating through the back door in all the different states. But
they're trying to make it as difficult as possible to actually get.
Isn't there? There's like three states in the South now where you can't actually get an abortion. You've got to go to another state. It's been shut down so effectively.
Yeah, so, anywhere that provides
Texas being one of those, per chance?
I think no, there's some big liberal parts to Texas. You got like Austin.
I think they managed to fight that off.
The northern parts aren't that too bad.
Is it South Carolina was one?
Yeah, please, you know.
Oh, and it's something like they keep on trying these bills over and over again, and they get one through just because people don't notice. It's like clinics that supply abortions have to have. Janitor space of at least however many square feet, and then they go up to these places that they know haven't got them and close them down. It's insane. It's because they didn't have enough places to store, you know, a mop and bucket.
Yeah. Scum.
Very bizarre. But yeah, it was a bizarre thing to research on the internet just to see. Well, it looked like both sides, but I'd like to think that one of them was just reporting and the other one was going crazy. But there's this site I found called Newsbusters, and it's really scary. It says, at the title, Newsbusters, and below, the subtitle says, Exposing and Combating Liberal Media Bias.
Wow.
And this is an American website. I don't know where they find their liberal media bias. But they had a go at the Washington Post. Because even though the Washington Post said that there were thousands of pro-life marches, they mentioned that there was a pro-abortion crowd there as well. And then we're kind of adding up word space. The title is, Wash Post gives tiny pro-abortion crowd equal billing to thousands of pro-life marches.
So how many tens of thousands pro-abortion were there? I reckon at least tens of hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
At least.
30% of the population, I reckon. Throw in a percentage, Steve.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
I think maybe 30's been a bit conservative, to be honest with you, John.
Well, you know, I was rounding down.
Sure, fair enough, okay.
Bizarre. But yeah, I don't know.
Sorry.
The guy was saying, I saw a cluster of about 8 or 10 feminist signs yesterday that could have been easily missed. But again, that's not really saying it. How do you gather your data on the amounts of people involved? It's a very tricky thing to count the amount of people in a crowd. I would imagine that you'd have to have some skill, some kind of form.
Darren Brown could do it.
Well, I think he could very adequately trick us into thinking that he had done it really well.
Possibly.
I got a story here that will make your irony meter explode.
Okay.
Cool. Right. In context, this was featured on the Mail Online, and the headline is, Parents Uptight After Primary School Gets Pupils to Give Up to Give Each Other Massages.
Right.
Okay.
I have heard this story.
Yeah, parents are up in arms at a primary school where youngsters have been giving each other massages before lessons. The 10-minute massage sessions were introduced at Sheffield's Hartley Brook Primary School to help calm down pupils after lunch breaks. School head Mrs. Chris Hobson, I take it Christine is her full name, said the massage sessions have been a big success, but some parents had withdrawn their children from the massage program, claiming it is inappropriate. So they're presenting this story as, oh, there's some really uptight parents out there that think that, you know, all their kids are getting molested. In a paper which has basically spearheaded the mass fear and hysteria of paedophilia in this country. So, well, there you go. Is your meter intact, Steve?
Only just.
Oh, okay. So.
That's brilliant.
So would you be happy with your child having a massage, Trev, in school?
Yes. Well, actually...
As long as it wasn't from the teacher, Trev.
Yeah. There could be further details. I mean, if it's called the Just the Tip Massage Program, then you would have some fairly worthy concerns. But, you know, if it's just... giving them the idea that they shouldn't be afraid to, you know, knead some muscles and warm up before things and you know, cool down after exercise, that kind of stuff, and to be more at home with their own bodies and other people's, then I think that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I think there's an issue here with the parents overlaying their own inhibitions then on the kids, and they're the ones who are actually sexualizing what's going on, and that
the parents are saying, "Oh, the dirty, filthy whores."
I only have a massage when it's when I'm getting jiggy with it, you know. So
yeah,
that's where the problem lies, I think.
Well, you ask your kid, so when the massage ended, were you
happy?
Oh, God.
You guys are wrong, you know that.
Jolly good.
So anyway, that's it. I'm out of stories now.
I have something which it's kind of like a feature. I've ripped it off straight from The Guardian because I'm reading it straight from their website. But I think, you know, John, this is something you can actually take part in then as well with Trev this time. And you can try and guess with which country... The casual racism is directed at.
Yay! So this is a new regular feature.
So what we've got here is six European newspapers who are in like a collective have got together and have basically asked each other what do we think of each other and are we right. So you've got what the other countries think about the country in question, and then you've got the response from the country. So, first up, who are uber efficient, diligent, disciplined, and prone to steal the best sand loungers on holiday?
Good grief.
Go on, I think I can go with that.
I'll name that tune in one. The word Uber kind of gave that one away, surely.
Okay. Good and grief. So Germany replied with, "It's all true. We've been highly efficient, diligent, and disciplined about ensuring the proper upkeep of these cliches." That was the German's response. Who are tax dodging, Berlusconi style Latin lovers, and mama's boys incapable of bravery?
Oh, would that be the Italians?
Surely no.
And, and their response was, "Our worst defect is something you'll have picked up while reading this article. It's smugness." Europe said, "Heavy drinking ultra Catholics with a whiff of anti Semitism and extreme dexterity for plumbing." Any takers?
Well, they see the plumbing thing makes me think of Mario. See, it makes me think it's Italy again.
Say it again.
Heavy drinking ultra Catholics with a whiff of anti Semitism and an extreme dexterity for plumbing.
French?
No, no. It is Poland. These stereotypes of Poles are true, but only partly. Poles drink average amounts of alcohol. Bear in mind, this is the Pole saying this now. They're Catholic, but not really bothered by what the church says. And they dislike Jews just slightly more than the average European.
Oh my God.
Right, so which country is this?
That's all very tongue-in-cheek, surely, isn't it?
I mean, the whole thing is tongue-in-cheek, of course it is.
I'd just like to see what...
You can never be sure with European humour.
What it would be an average amount of anti-Semitism that, you know, you could say...
I don't know.
Well, you know, it's only average, you know.
Curse those bloody Jews, they killed Jesus. You know, let's stone them.
We're 105, 110% anti-Semitic from your average baseline. Oh, Christ.
As long as you fall within the bell curve, you're all right.
Oh, no. So, who's this? Macho men and fiery women, prone to regular siestas and fiestas so that nothing ever gets done.
Have you seen Handy Manny? He's always busy. I don't know what people are on about.
So, yeah, Spain said, "The pictures Europeans have of Spain, their photo albums, may be souvenirs of a country visited on holiday, but what happens there the rest of the time? The statistics tell us there are Mondays too." So, we have two more to go.
Good.
Who did Europe say were cowardly, arrogant,
French.
Chauvinistic?
French, I'll name that one.
You're right, quite right, Trev. I mean, what gave it away? White flag hanging over the Champs-Élysées, I don't know. And finally, drunken, semi-clad hooligans, or
English.
Else snobbish, stiff free marketeers. Obviously the British. And apparently Britain
British
replied...
British bastards, they're lumping us in with everyone.
Britain replied to this, "How can Britain simultaneously be both self-controlled and prone to rip off our clothing in a drunken haze?" And what you have is a picture of a man wearing an English flag St. George's Cross shirt with a Union Jack boxer short and a rain cloud over his head while he's wearing a bowler hat. So, yeah, that was the cartoon depicted. So there we go. That's what the European press think of each other.
Well, it sounds like a decent bit of humour from the European press and a massive sense of humour failure from the British.
You've got to hand it to those Poles, though. I mean, they are pretty good plumbers.
I like the way they say, "Yeah, Catholic-ish."
Catholic-ish. Great. And yeah, you know, you're right, we don't really like the Jews, but what Europeans do.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, I'm spent this week, so unless one of you's got like an amazing story, I don't want to have to go to the mail online or something like that.
I've been there. I've done it. I've already got it.
Yeah.
It's felony. She's basically think she was masturbating when she wrote this. That's just my opinion, okay? I'm not suggesting that it's fact.
How did she type though, Trev?
Just one-handed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Work and Pension Secretary, Ian Duncan Smith, was really terrific on the BBC's Today programme this morning. Calm and persistent, and, despite interruptions so bad it was impossible at times to hear what was being said at all, managing to get his point across and convey his essential decency and reasonableness. Which is more than can be said for his opponents. His signature welfare reform was derailed in the House of Lords this evening, representing a triumph of twisted leftism over social justice, sentimentality over reason, and posturing ideology over true compassion. And I read through her entire piece. I couldn't find where her actual compassion was supposed to be in basically shafting poor people. It's very tricky, and she has a go at the church
compassion was, Trev, yeah, is that it means they'll die quicker, so they'll be put out of their miserable existence quicker.
That could be it.
That's what it is. Yes, those poor buggers, they're not going to live much longer, so, you know, let's hurry them along the way, so we can stop the burden to the taxpayer.
Yeah. And she keeps on banging on about how much... she loves the church and supports the church, if only the church would bloody agree with them more often. The Church of England keeps on being wishy-washy and supporting these bastard poor, and Rowan Williams, well, I can't bring myself to agree with Rowan Williams very often at all, but if he pisses off Felony Millips, then well done to him there.
Hats off.
Wow.
There's so many contradictions in her article. Does she like the church or does she hate the church?
Are you serious?
I know.
Really?
Doesn't it rock your world?
Wow.
She's furious in her certainty that by reducing benefit, we would be doing poor people a favour. She hates the idea that it's actually more complicated than that. And there are all sorts of fuckers, actually, have been apologising for the ridiculously rich over the last week or so. You know, when they mentioned about bankers and CEOs getting ridiculous pay rises. Mm-hmm. And there were various opinioneers appearing on Rolling News saying, well, I don't know what these poor people are whining about, really. They should grow up. This is the real world. Which I thought was wonderful. I didn't catch everybody's name, but I saw a bunch of faces that are burned into my memory. And hopefully they will never again get served food without spit. never be driven to the correct address in a taxi. and always get shortchanged whenever she goes through a till.
This is on the back of news that the head of RBS is getting paid £800,000 bonus this year. But even with what's going on, they thought, yeah, let's give him a bonus. I'm sure he wouldn't mind it. If I was him, I'd be like going, look, guys, I don't fucking want it. What are you trying to do? You're trying to make the most unpopular guy in the world. You know?
I've already hung Fred out to dry. You know, come on.
The thing is, I mean, the Pope's there going, oh, these British, they're just making me look better by the day.
No, look, it's performance-related pay, and the man has done spectacularly well, because after completely fucking up so badly, he managed to get a bonus. How can you fault somebody like that?
He's obviously really good. Maybe he just uses Jedi mind tricks on everybody. He goes into a meeting...
That's
going,
not the bonus I'm looking for. <I know.
laughs> Yeah, he goes into a meeting, they're all ready to sack him. He goes, you don't want to sack me. You know, you want to keep me on. I've done a great job.
I can go about my business.
Do you know what? This guy, he's done a great job. He can go about his business.
Move along. And then just to try his luck, plus have another $800,000, plus have another $800,000. Holy shit, it worked! Bastards.
And just quickly, Hungarian driver banned from roads after he overloaded his Audi with 11 people and crammed 4 children into the boot.
Oh, no. Oh, that's a poor...
Yeah, so a Hungarian guy was stopped by the police with 6 children and 4 adults crammed into his Audi. The youngest, a 9-month-old baby, was one of 2 children, 3 adults, unsecured in the back of the car.
I was hoping you were going to say the baby was in the boot.
No. When officers opened the enclosed boot, they discovered four children aged between 5 and 11 piled on top of each other.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if you were one of those policemen? You know when they just keep filing out one after the other and another and another?
You'd have to check to make sure they weren't
going. Is Noel Edmonds the last one in that car that got you started again?
You'd have to make sure that the kids aren't just walking around the back of the car and getting in the other side and coming out.
Is this a clown car? How do you get a license for that?
So he's in big trouble. Also, the car was uninsured, if you needed to add that onto the list. But apparently he thought that the police were being a bit unfair, because, to quote him, it doesn't matter. They were only children.
Seriously?
Seriously.
I think the policeman's been a bit harsh, actually. I've had at least another 5 more people in the car.
Yeah, God, they should have seen me. There's another 18 guys in the back, but don't worry, we'll squeeze you in.
Just as well they stopped me when I was only halfway through my my carpool.
Halfway through the school run.
So, do you want a lift? Oh, there doesn't appear to be any space. Don't worry about it, just jump in the booth.
Pop.
So, he's got to find a couple of grand. Not enough, to be honest. I think surely a custodial sentence, but... Okay, on that bombshell... I'm just happy to steal, you know.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. All we need now is some dribbling person, you know, with, you know, brain damage to sit in the corner to play Richard Hammond. And
isn't that my role?
Oh, right, okay. So, I'm done. So, do you have anything you want to add, Trev?
I'm out. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's go and watch telly and have a beer.
Good plan.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, folks, and I'm sorry that this week wasn't as good as the awesome last week.
Oh,
but we'll work on it, honestly. So,
And don't forget to check for the previous one, which might come out at a later date, but God knows where it'll actually be in the running order of the.
It'll be the placed iTunes. Earlier in the yeah, and also if you've got nothing to do on Wednesday, go and see Trev.
Oh yeah.
If go on, plug yourself.
I'm going to be at the Ladybird Lounge on Mill something.
Mill Lane. Just say
Mill
in
Lane.
Cardiff.
Thank you. In Cardiff, yeah. Quite near the station.
Yeah. And you're going to be funny, apparently.
On Wednesday night, yeah. It's a good 10 minutes.
Hopefully he won't spend all his mojo before the Thursday. And he'll still have some funny left for us.
Yeah.
It could go horribly wrong and I'll have a dreadful fit, but you know, they're funny to watch.
Well, that's why I'm going. I think the whatever the price is on
See,
the
Trev,
door.
You keep promising this.
Yeah.
I know.
And you've yet to deliver. So yeah, I'm getting
sorry.
I just don't believe you anymore. I think you're one of these benefit cheats, to be honest with you.
Curses. I've been found out.
Because I've seen you. That's my proof. I've seen you.
Yeah, I go in and I get that insulin from the chemist. I just throw it all out.
And you looked absolutely fine.
Right, say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
See you next week.